And the craziest shit is they're not going to teach you anything. You'll get what you can get, but like you won't get everything you need. But they'll, and when they don't teach you what you need to know as a police officer, they also, the same people who won't, who fail you in the training, will also hold you accountable for the bad actions in the field. It's so crazy. So that's why it falls on us to train. Hey guys, if you missed out on the last conference in Nashville, Tennessee, you don't want to miss out on the next one. It's April 28th through May 3rd, Orlando, Florida, the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. You made a mistake missing the last one. You don't want that to happen again on this one. 5 days of some of the best training you're ever going to experience packed into one event. We have an early bird special right now, $50 off. Use 24 early bird on our website, streetcop.com. Look for the conference, click the link, register today. If you want to get significantly better at this profession in 5 days, don't dare miss out on the 2024 Street Cop Conference.
111-110. You trying to be a street cop?
If you guys aren't familiar with our company, we provide police training for the country. I'm known and our company's known on social media. Some of you may know who I am, some of you may not, but I think as you go through your career, you're gonna find out who we are. And I wish you guys, I had a little advice for you guys that I'm gonna give you today before we even start, but probably would have been a little more appropriate towards the end of your academy graduation. So what I'm asking you to do is retain some of this knowledge. Congrats on being here. People say that shit all the time, but like, you know, it's a good career and it just is what you make it. So just a few things for you guys to remember before you start asking and firing your questions away. This would be good. Here's some advice I can give to you. I've been doing this 23 years. I'm retired. I'm not a cop anymore, but I run this organization. And this year, Street Cop Training will teach in person, probably somewhere in the ballpark of 30 to 35,000 police officers. So here's some advice for you guys. And you'll constantly get advice if you follow our social media platforms. We have about 1 million followers. The one way that everybody gets fired from this fucking job, just so we're clear, the one way is off duty and alcohol. That's it. So like 99% of cops in my career, in the time I've been doing this 23 years, who have lost their jobs has been to off duty, alcohol related incidents. So just remember that going forward, when you are out partying with your boys and your girls or whoever it's going to be, and you guys are sucking down booze like psychopaths and you decide to get in the car and drive. I know people, we have a kid right from where I'm at in New Jersey, who was charged with a triple homicide. Been on the job 3 years, got drunk 6 o'clock in the morning, puts the car into something fixed and kills his three friends. He went from being a cop one day to going to prison probably for the rest of his life the other day. It's a real thing, man. So like, just use your brains with off-duty alcohol. Number two, don't hook up with your coworkers. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. Like, I'm telling you, don't hook up with your coworkers. If you want to date a cop, just go to another police department and meet cops from another PD. Go to like police events and hang out with cops at another place. Don't hook up with your dispatchers and your coworkers. This stuff may sound crazy, but this is where the trouble is in your career. I promise you that. I promise you. So like when you're drinking and that female coworker, that male coworker is like, all right, you're like, I'm telling you, you're going down a bad road. And number three, a really good piece of advice for when you leave and you're like in this world, and even right now you can use it. If you like find a dude or a chick that you like hanging out with, that's your friend, hang out with one person you work with. Don't hang out with everybody you work with. This is where trouble starts too. I'm telling you, this may sound crazy and people get offended, like we should make camaraderie. You could just be friends at work. My suggestion is if you want to hang out with other cops, just don't hang out with everybody from your police department. Go to two towns over, make some friends over there, and hang out with those guys and girls. That is your best advice. How many of you are going to listen to me? I don't know. But I'm telling you, when you're sitting outside of Internal Affairs next to your attorney that you pay $5,000 out of pocket for to get yourself out of this jam, you're going to say, fuck, I should have listened to that dude. Like, I wish this wasn't me right now. So all these things are recorded that you're going to do. And every video you watch when or any story you hear about a cop losing their job, 99% of the time, it comes back to alcohol off duty. And the last thing I have before I start taking questions is, in this career, you cannot wait to be chosen in order to decide who you're going to be and how you're going to develop yourself. This is not a sales pitch. This is the truth. If you wait for somebody to choose you to get approval, well, they'll pay for you to go to training, you're a fool. Because the training that you can receive outside the walls of your agency may save your life. And so if you're not willing to spend $199, $299 to take a course that will not only save your life, but prevent you from making mistakes in the future about like decisions in the field, legal decisions, your behavior, you're a fool. And unfortunately, in this profession, sometimes you're chosen and sometimes you're not. Don't wait for them to choose you, choose yourself. And if you find yourself in a situation where you don't think this is that an agency is a good fit for you, and it's not what you wanted it to be, and you don't think it's getting better, I went to 3 agencies in 4.5 years. I went to 3 police academies as a recruit in 4.5 years. No bullshit. They're like 77 weeks in academies. Because I'm just like, yo, this isn't going to be for me. Like, I just don't want, this is not how I'm seeing my career. And so those who stay and those who essentially are afraid of the change will suffer great consequences. If you want to be a canine officer and you guys don't have a canine at your agency, and that's your like life's dream, go somewhere where there's a canine position available and a likelihood that you're going to get it. And don't be so hung up on like how fast you can get to a specialized division. Work with what you got. Go out every day. You got an opportunity every single day to change somebody's life and be a great human being to them and be compassionate and do a little bit more. And so work with what you've got. You don't need a fucking slick top dropped SRT fucking Hemi Charger to be a great cop. Right? You don't need a fucking canine unit to be a great cop. You could just go out and be a great cop. And at the end of the day, if you look yourself in the fucking mirror and say to yourself, yo, I worked at what I had. I'm proud of the work that I did. I may not have gotten right, but I did the best that I could and I didn't be a piece of shit about it. I wasn't selfish. You're going to have a fulfilled career and you got to stop thinking about how come I didn't get the canine? How come I didn't get street crimes? How come I didn't get that award? That's not fair. This profession is inundated with politics and nepotism, and it's not meritocracy. So that means is people are going to get shit that you didn't get, and it's not fair. Don't go down that road of why wasn't it me? You worry about you, and just is what it is. If you worry about you, it's the best thing that you could ever do in your career, because I'm telling you, the first person that doesn't deserve an award and gets one, and everybody knows it because maybe, you know, somebody's uncle is the captain, everybody already knows it. You don't have to repeat it. You just worry about what you can do. So the answer is like, hey, you know what? He got that award. You know, it is what it is. Good for him. Congratulations. I just come out here and do my job. And so with that being said, that's my advice. And that shit will carry you far. And the last thing you want to do is go down that road of like, how come this isn't fair? I'm telling you, if you think life's not fair, being a cop is fucking 40 times more unfair than life. And you just need to know that now so you can get through it. And so I'm not trying to dishearten you. Like, it's a great fucking job. You have a great opportunity every single day to really do some cool shit in the world. Like, folks, literally saying hello to a kid, bending down and giving him a hug changes people's like days. You know what I mean? Like, showing up. And just remember, when you show up to somebody's worst day or somebody crashed their car, you may be getting taught paramilitary stuff and all this fucking push up and running around and screaming. Like, the best cop in the world is the one who's not a dick. So if you leave here and you act like a dickhead, just understand this. Don't be afraid to be nice to people, because that's who you need to be as a cop. You just need to be fucking nice to people. So when you walk in, say hello, right? Be compassionate. There are going to be times that can be very frustrating, but just being nice to somebody. You don't have to hammer tickets out and that equals good police work. You don't have to take people and in a time where finances are tough, murder them with fucking summonses because your stats look better at work. You're known as a hard charger. You can pull somebody over and say to them, hey, good afternoon, I'm all so-and-so. Hey, look, don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal. You know, this happened. I have to look into it. Right? Like, you want people leaving that experience every single time saying, that was the nicest cop I ever met in my life. Because think about when you got pulled over by a dick and how it made you feel, right? Think about, you guys must have been pulled over at some point in your life. Think about what it felt like when somebody was a dick to you for no reason. So the first thing they should have told you at this academy is being a dick is going to get you nowhere. You have nothing to prove to anybody. And the reality is, the man or woman in the uniform who can deploy a ton of humility and a ton of kindness and not act like they're hot shit is the real fucking champion. And you go to any police department, any country, any part of this country and ask who's the best cop in this building, I promise you they're going to point to the person who has all those qualities. Mark my fucking words. The guy or girl who can deploy the most kindness to everybody and not be a dick and can get anybody, even to take punitive actions against them, to like them, they're the biggest winners. And it's the opposite. The dicks, people who act like assholes in the field, they're no good. Don't be one of those. Okay, question time.
Do you regret, I know you said you've been in three agencies. Do you regret like not sticking with one of them or no regrets on that?
Let me just tell you this. So for me, I don't live with any regret. I can reflect on some of the things that I did in my past and able to use those things to make better decisions in the future. But my suggestion is people always want to know, like, what's life's answer? There is no life answer. Every day we all wake up and try to figure it out and make the best decision. So if you make a decision, I'm going to tell you a few things about moving on. Number one, your next step doesn't have to be your final step. It just has to be a better step than the last step. That's all, right? So if you're the busboy at a fucking restaurant, becoming the host is the next step up. And then becoming the waiter is the next step up. And then becoming the assistant manager is the next step up. And then eventually all the way to the owner, and then maybe the owner of many of them. So as long as you're making your best decision to step forward, there should be no regret. I had zero regret. And I was fucking terrified every single time because I had just made friends and I really liked everybody. And I was going back to be a recruit again. And it was the worst, but it was worth it. And dude, I remember being at my third police academy. I had like 4.5 years on at that time. It was January 5th. It was fucking 3 degrees outside. My hands were purple. And like my friends were drill instructors. And like they're running up and they're like, whoa! And they're like, what the fuck are you doing here? And I'm like, just yell at me. And they're like, just yell at me. And they're like, go, oh, so-and-so recruit so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah. And then like literally an hour into my first day of the hell day, I got brought in the bathroom by my friends. Like, dude, what the fuck are you doing here? And I'm like, dude, I took a job at this agency and they made me go back to the academy. It's absolute horseshit, but I'm here and I have to be here because I went for the better opportunity. And I was willing to do what it took to get to where I wanted to be to see my career. And I got to tell you guys, everybody that didn't leave and stayed at those agencies before me to this day are the, now everybody complains, but they have the most complaints. But I saw it. I knew it was a sinking ship. I'm like, yo, like, this is just not how I see my career. And that's nobody's fault that it is that way. I always tell agencies, I'm like, you guys should be very clear with who you hire and essentially tell them what you're looking for in a cop. And they should be clear and back to you if this was an open conversation of who they want to be as a cop. If this agency wants you to write tickets and you want to go out and catch bad guys, they're not the same thing. Writing tickets and catching criminals are two very different things. Some people like writing tickets. Some people like catching bad guys. So there's a big mismatch when that happens because you might want to come out. I'm sorry, I didn't know your first name. I couldn't hear it. What's your first name, dude? I'm sorry.
Rick.
Rick, I mean, wouldn't it be nice for you to convey in all reality what you actually really wanted to do as a police officer versus what they wanted to hear and vice versa? The problem is like when you come out and you're not getting or becoming what you wanted to become. And there's a big rub in this industry between those who see it as a job and those who see it as a purpose and give a fuck about it. So when you give a fuck about this work and you work for people who don't give a fuck about the work and they just need like things to get done, because it's a very heartfelt fucking gig. Like you really are going to have some amazing moments as a cop. You got some shit ones, but some amazing moments as a cop of like, you really change somebody's life. And dude, you'd be surprised a year from that, when that moment happens, somebody might come up to you and tell you about what you did for them that day. Did that answer your question? And is this follow-up ones, dude? Hit me up with a follow-up one. You know, I'm trying to give you guys context.
No, that answered my question. I guess I would rephrase it. Would you change anything? Not so much as far as a regret. Would you change anything if you could go back?
You know, dude, one thing that I'm proud of at this company is the fact that not only are we training people on the things you need to know to how to perform as a cop, but like how to perform as a human being. And the things that I already told you about when I first started our conversation are the things I would have changed. I'm giving you this advice because if I could go back, I would tell you, I could have had friends outside my police department and I should have had more friends outside my police department. And that was a huge fucking mistake and it impacted my career. And, you know, I don't know what it is about the psychology of cops and our need to be adrenaline junkies and to drink in excess and to hook up and I was the quintessential off-duty lunatic. I didn't get in really like fights or anything like that, but like, you know, just being a young man, I was 19 when I got on the job, and just being a young man running amok, being wild. The things I gave you are the things that I would change. And you're not going to get it right, but if you follow some of this advice and you listen to some of the things we're telling you as guys at this company who have 20 plus years in this field, all those things, chasing the carrots, wanting a specialized unit, jealous I didn't get a detective badge, like, you know, like all that stuff, you've got to get rid of that shit to start so you can get to being the best that you can be. Hey guys, follow us on all social media platforms to include Instagram, Twitter, Facebook group. We have so much information going out every single day, and we don't want you to miss out on any of that stuff. So check it out. Go give us a follow. So that's my answer to that. Hopefully that makes you feel better. All right. Who's got a next question?
All right, go ahead. Jennifer.
Hi,
Jen, get in here.
Hi, my name is Jennifer. I wanted to ask, what are police academy good at?
Did you set her up for this one, Tim? I can speak honestly without doing a disservice and creating trouble for me. And, you know, I'm getting better at that because I've been so vocal about the problems that we face. You asking that question already reveals to me that you've caught on to the bullshit. Okay. Which is fine. So my advice to you is you do what you got to do. We're working on fixing some of the stuff that you're in now, if people are willing to listen. But your real training begins when you make the decision to start training. This is just whatever you got to do. Like, this is, you've probably already 4 weeks in, you've probably caught on to, like, has anything really got you to where you need to understand how to do police work? No. But the good news is you've got companies like mine out there that are literally will train you with everything you need. Once you're done, you can start taking that training right now in our groups for free in Facebook. Get to these things, invest in yourself, and you'll have a fruitful career. But you cannot depend on what is given to you in order for you to become the best you can be. So the answer is, I think you know the answer to that already. And we've all just got to get through some shit, get it over with. And just so you're all clear, nothing matters from this point forward. Nothing matters about how he performed or how she performed or how they performed. Once you get on the road, anything that has happened in these walls, it doesn't matter. Your recruit history doesn't follow you through your career. Like, you couldn't do enough pushups or you were late three. Like, nobody gives a fuck. That all goes out the window. So the answer is, a lot of the things you're going to be given is not good enough. And that's basically the motivation of why I show up and do this shit all the time and try to make your jobs. Our number one priority is not dying. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. Listen to the podcast episodes that I've done with the men and women who've been shot in the line of duty. And the craziest shit is all this stuff can be fixed with just a few adjustments. So, for example, have you guys started practicing motor vehicle stops yet?
So we did the driver's side and the passenger side approach. Majority of us like the passenger side, I believe.
But you can even go further than the passenger side, right? So, like, they're teaching you to get out of a car and, like, walk up. Do they tell you to touch trunks yet? They tell you that one yet?
We heard that was a bunch of, I can't curse here, but that was a bunch of BS. Yeah.
It's the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen in my life, pushing down on trunks, like, to make sure the trunk's secure. Like, don't they have those little yellow levers in trunks now? You can just open them anyway if you were inside the trunk. And they'll tell you, like, guys, you're driving around. Like, you never know when somebody's going to jump out and, like, cut you down on the side of the road with an AK-47 in the trunk. Like, bro, it was 30 degrees in Jersey today. Like, I guarantee you there wasn't a person in the world riding around in a trunk this morning looking to go kill a cop. So when you hear things, you need to take your brain and say, does that make sense? Like, why are we thumbprinting trunks? And it's on this whole premise that you're going to, if you get shot in the line of duty, we're going to dust the prints off the trunk. And then that's going to be Latin proof that we'll catch the person who who killed you, because we'll recover his car. It's never happened. The one thing that'll keep you alive on these traffic stops is your anonymity. So even though you're being taught to walk up straight, my suggestion is, like, I always tell people, like, this is, and I'll give you guys some context of how we teach things. Like, first of all, you need to be picking where you're going to stop a car. Being on the roadway, even in the shoulder, is so fucking dangerous. Cops die there all the time. Number two, you need to pick, on top of getting off the roadway, pick a good location. You want to pick something that's really good. Number three, as you're stopping a car, you need to understand what's going on inside the car. So you need to see what's happening inside the car. Are they looking at you? They want to know where you're at. What's weird about it? Does it seem like it's normal? After you stop, you're going to want to look behind the car before you get out of the car, but you also want to remain anonymous. So anonymity will keep you alive. And people say, well, how do you remain anonymous on a day shift traffic stop? If you practice the idea of not doing things so predictably, you'll probably live. So that means looking behind you, stepping out of the car, gently setting the door, walking around the back of your vehicle, and then creating an element of surprise. But if you have the opportunity to, I like to have you walk off the car, like maybe like 10, 15 feet, and look inside the car before you walk up on the car. You guys, all you need to do, this may sound crazy, but it'll save your life. This weekend, when you guys go home, it's probably not a Living Academy, right?
No, sir.
So this weekend, instead of choosing Netflix on Saturday night with your honey boo, right? Like, go watch videos of cops getting killed in the line of duty and listen and just try to figure out what they did wrong. And once you understand what they did wrong, you won't do those things. And it's a really, dude, it's awful. Like, cops getting shot, cops getting murdered. There's nothing worse in the world for me. It's just so awful. I've been to so many funerals. I've known people who were killed. And, you know, like 90% of the time, it was just a lack of training. If you guys are watching On Patrol Live or Cops or any police shows, understand you're picking up bad habits. It's not even their fault. Just nobody ever taught them the right way. So back to the traffic stop. So off, I want to know what's going on inside a car before I approach a car. I want to think about what's going to happen if this person actually starts shooting at me. What am I going to do? Where can I go for cover? And how am I going to respond? Have you guys started using radios yet?
No.
So,
you know, like that should be day one at the door. And I'm having that conversation. I'm not criticizing Police Academy. I'm saying, hey, look, we have these ideas. We think you should use them. Because what you're going to realize is you got to develop something called a radio ear. So, Tim, did you ever field train?
No, I did not. I wasn't an officer long enough. I got promoted to detective too early.
Okay, no worries. But like when he was in field training, this is what you hear from your field training officer all the time. Hey, listen up. They're calling you. They're calling you. Listen up. They're calling you. That's all you're going to hear your first 2 weeks because you're not listening to the radio because there's so much going on. We actually learned through an experiment that my friend did, who was the training director for a brief period of time at the Port Authority Police Academy in New York, New Jersey. They recognized that nobody was hearing the radios. So they actually gave recruits radios. And so by the time you were done at the academy, you understood how to communicate on a radio. But watch communications on a radio. Watch really good shoots when somebody knows how to work that radio well and give good information. And watch when somebody doesn't. So unfortunately, a lot of things aren't your fault. The only fault you have is to not continue to educate yourself, not asking permission for your administration, not saying, hey, can I go to this class? If they're offering things, great, take as much as you can. But like literally saying like, okay, I'm not waiting for them to pick me. I did work off duty. I made an extra $200 or $250. I'm going to invest in myself. And that knowledge is so valuable because it'll save your life at a very minimum. So that's how your traffic stop should be. We just need to rethink things. And guys, I'm going to tell you right now, like, there are so many names that aren't on that wall in DC. And if you haven't seen that wall, you can go see that wall one day. It's all the cops that were killed in line of duty. It's a fucking emotional place to be. And I'm proud of that. And there's a lot of people who don't like the things that I'm saying because it challenges what it's always been. And what it's always been has cost a lot of people their lives. And I'm, you know, we're downplaying it in a conversation. Like, motherfuckers are dead and never coming back because somebody didn't like the idea that we were going to change it from a driver side approach to a passenger side approach, which I can prove to you will increase the likelihood of you surviving a motor vehicle crash or a shooting significantly. Measurable? I don't know how much you would measure it, but like probably 100x. I get the feedback. I have videos of guys and girls who've taken this training who have said, like, I would have been dead if I didn't take your class. And I'm like, yeah, I'm glad you came. Right? They weren't sending me. I paid my own way. Glad you came. Is your life worth $299 for a 10-day course? I'm sorry, 10-hour course. Got to ask yourself that question. That's really your top priority. And there's things that like we can all do to improve this. Like, how many cops pull up to domestic violence incidents and literally park in front of the house? And as they get out, the fucking angry husband's cutting them down with an AK-47. But the guys and girls who parked three blocks away and then walked up covertly are the ones who survived. And do we get complacent, right? And that word is going to get beat to death in that academy. You're going to hear it so much that it actually dilutes the value of it. And you're like, yeah, we know, complacent. But the craziest shit is, when you listen to my podcast episodes of the men and women that I've interviewed who were shot and or significantly injured in the line of duty, they will all say the same thing. I just got complacent. I got one guy from North Carolina who was shot like fucking four times. And, you know, in some podunk town. And he's like, bro, I'm literally laying on the side of the road bleeding out. I'm like, I can't believe I'm going to be a fucking cop that was killed in line of duty. They're like, I can't believe I let this happen to me. And he told us, like, I just got complacent, dude. I didn't think it would ever happen to me. You can't lose sight of that because, dude, your number is always ready to be called. And some people are able to fucking avoid that number being called because they invested in themselves, put the bullshit to the side, and took this shit seriously. Because, folks, this shit's fucking serious. Like, if you boys and girls aren't, they're not going to give it to you there. But if you're not enrolled in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu on Saturday mornings, like, let me just warn all of you. Somebody's going to fight you. And I got to tell you, like, if you've never fought Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, let me bring some 14-year-olds there to come because my kids go to it. That will humble you in that classroom, who will choke you the fuck out, and they're 14. And more people are getting trained on that side, and more people on our side aren't. And so if you are not going on your own time and dime, not waiting for them to go learn how to fight jiu-jitsu and at least getting a blue belt, which takes about 6 months if you went 2 or 3 days a week, you're out of your mind. You're going to get... Would you rather go every... I want everybody to... We'll do a raise of hands thing. What would you rather have? Now, I'm going to give you the answers first, and we'll raise our hands. Would you rather have to wake up at 9 a.m. on Saturdays, go down to the closest BJJ gym, and roll around for an hour, make some friends, learn some skills that you can take with you for the rest of your life for 6 months to a year. And because, like, you're tired and you don't want to do it, you're not doing it. Okay, that's your first option. That's option A. So you're going to go train jiu-jitsu for 6 months to a year to have skills for life. Or would you rather not go to jiu-jitsu every Saturday morning, sleep in, watch cartoons, whatever you got to do, and then, like, your third month in, you run into a dude who punches you in the fucking face and shatters your orbital bones so badly that you now are out of work for 3 years, can't work overtime, and have to get 6 stages of facial reconstruction surgery and can't breathe anymore appropriately. That's the truth. It's not all the time, but when it gets violent, it's fucking violent. And if you're not prepared for it, you guys see the video that the Georgia cop who had the guy on the side of the road, and he's like, get out of the car. And, like, the guy gets out, and the guy starts, like, fucking trying to asphyxiate him. He had to shoot him. He was authorized to use deadly force. And he's the headaches that man's going to go through because he had to use deadly force. But he's authorized. The guy was trying to kill him. Everything in that video there, and I'm not criticizing the dude because I don't know his story, but that is something that could have been fixed had there been training. Had he gone taking Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because he didn't know how to fight that dude. So when that dude went for the kill to try to asphyxiate the cop, he had no option but take out his pistol and shoot him on the side of the road and kill him. And fortunately enough, it didn't get too much of an outrage nationally, but I'm sure he dealt with a lot of shit. He's probably dealing with death threats. Had he gone to 6 months of BJJ, he would have been able to maneuver that guy, choke him out or subdue him on the side of the road in a very nonviolent thing. And the world looks for police officers now who know how to fight, know the law, and act professionally. Yet, we are still not teaching people how to do these things. Have you guys started Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu training at your academy yet? I'm glad they're doing that. You have to take that and go expand upon it. Anybody fight BJJ outside of school, outside of class here?
I went to a training this Saturday. I don't fight, but
you don't have to fight. But I'm telling you, I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old who are in jiu-jitsu. They've been going for about a year and a half now. And what I've seen in these little babies in how they fight with their brothers and their friends, it's two different worlds. My kids in 3 years will be 17 steps above every other kid that they go to fucking school with. And so listen to me and listen to me good. Somebody's going to fight you. Somebody's going to fight you, and you're a fucking fool when that time comes and you're getting your fucking face shattered in. Think about what that must feel like. And you're going to be fucking 3 months in a hospital having specialists flown in to reconstruct your fucking face because you're fucking too lazy to get up and go to a gym once or twice a week for 6 months to a year you got to commit to learn how to fight. I'm telling you, you're going to fight people. You're going to have no option. Anyway. That's my next rant. Jen, did that answer your question?
Yeah, sir.
I guess to sum it up is, like, you know what you're getting. Choose you. Continue to train. All of you right now can join our Facebook groups. Join our, you, and just come in and start taking training. we'll approve it. You come in and you can start exploring what we teach on Instagram, on social media. Start listening to the podcast. You're going to find a lot of value. All right. What's the next question?
Sir, how are you? Thank you for your time. My name is Jose.
Are you the old man in the group?
I'm one of three in our mid to late 40s. Yeah.
You're in your mid 40s?
49.
Holy shit. You are the old dude. I thought you were like 35, to be quite honest with you.
Thank you.
Look fantastic, 49. And dude, just so we're clear, like, this is a conversation of like, I don't think I'm better than anybody here. My friend Joe is 29. He's a business savage. I call a 29-year-old to get business advice from a dude who's proven that he knows what he's doing. I'm 42. So like, please, let's just take out like that feeling of like, I'm 49, the guy's 42. I'm coming here with my heart of 23 years of experience saying like, this is what I know. And the crazy shit for a guy like you is he already knows, he has so much wisdom. And you probably got a guy like him that's going to probably progress so much. And they're laughing because maybe you don't have wisdom. But older guys tend to get chosen for a lot more things because they're more stoic. They've been around. They make better life decisions. So just, you know, be aware of that. Doesn't mean anybody else here isn't wise beyond their years. But so I just want to preface that with like, dude, I don't think I'm any better than you. I only came here as a friend to try to help you guys. And I want you to feel there's any age difference.
Well, yeah, no, I don't feel that way at all. I, you know, like you said, yeah, I've been through enough life where, you know, I'm not done learning, never. What are your feelings on random plate checks?
I don't know if there's a, okay, let me try to rephrase this. I'm becoming a better human being. There are better ways to do police work. There just are. And those better ways may not be found at your agency. You may need to look outside your agency for the new perspective of what police work is. You know, it's crazy. You guys are going to an academy and they're just going to show you what police work is. And they're going to chalk it up to tickets. But now one person is going to tell you to catch bad guys. So if you became cops to catch bad guys, you're going to have to seek the advice outside of your agency more than likely, or find the three or five people at your agency that are actually going out and catching bad guys. Link up with those people. And then you'll learn really fast how stupid random plate inquiry is. And let's just talk about this. You guys probably aren't familiar with how that works. You run a random plate inquiry. If something hits on the plate, typically it has to do with the registered owner of the vehicle, okay? So like either the car is expired or unregistered or the registration is suspended or it's uninsured or the owner is, they have a small warrant for the arrest or they're suspended or their license is expired. That's the only way or the car is stolen. These are the only things that are going to get hit. So if you're driving a car that's not yours, right? Let's say, what's your first name? Dude, I'm sorry. My apologies. Okay, Jose, if my car is registered properly and my license is fine and you run a plate and it comes back super clean, but you're driving my car and you're wanted for murder and you've got 10 kilos and a body in the back, what would a random plate tell me about that car? And the answer is nothing. You're going to run it. You're not going to look inside the car, what the person's reaction to your presence is going to be. And you're going to let a murderer with 10 kilos and a body in the trunk drive right past you. And the best in the business know how to recognize when somebody's engaged in criminal activity, this is what they're going to display. A random plate inquiry. And you know, people argue this because people believe in the things they do so much that they're willing to die on the fucking sword for it. But I promise you, the reason I talk this way is because it's just the truth. Everybody starts their career running random plates and writing tickets, because they're very easy to do. And every so often, you'll get some shit on your shoe. That's it, right? You're like, oh, shit. This is cool. I got like three bags of heroin. Like, great. But like, what if we could teach you how to get 20,000 bags of heroin in your first year on a traffic stop? What if we could teach you how to like start actually intercepting people who are carrying guns illegally and what it looks like? Nobody's going to teach you that stuff. They're just not. So my advice is, if you want to do more than the things that you're doing, like when you get into your field training program and your FTO is like, all right, we're going to run random plates, just keep that in mind. Like, you know, this is probably not somebody who's not that good at this job. Might be a good human being, might be a great community affair, like community policing guy. But when it comes to proactivity, this is somebody who doesn't really know how to laser focus your energy to reap the best rewards of essentially how this all works. So if you see our instructors, like they're like the best in the business, dude. Like, we got guys that go out every single day and knock down like 500 pounds of weed, 10 kilos of coke, $1 million in cash, rescue human trafficking victims, kidnap children, get guns. And 99% of cops go out, they turn their rear antenna radar on, they run random plates, get somebody's cars unregistered and fucking impound it, make their life miserable, and then like write tickets. So the reality is like, there is so much crime. There are so many people in society doing so many awful things. And you're worried about a guy named Jim who's late to work and he's 14 over, right? But as you're writing Jim, the union contractor who fucking is a decent human being and just had to rush to work because he's a little late and you caught him because you're such a badass, the guy who's actually committing crimes, the guy with the, you know, the 10 kilos of coke, you think that's crazy to say, but like 10 kilos of coke, he's driving right behind your back while you're out there fucking with Tim. Just don't forget that. They're here. You just need to know how to find them. And don't listen to the bullshit of like, police work's dead, blah, 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 da, 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 da. Ignore that noise and worry about yourself. If you're doing things compliant, you know the law, you know the techniques, and you have good administrative support. That's a big one. You need to have administrative support. If your administration doesn't want you doing this work, don't fight them. It's a moot gesture. And people argue like, no, it's not true. One time I fucking ran a random plate and we pulled a car over and we found like a gun. Like, yeah, you've been on the job 11 years. You got one good story. How about if you could do that 4 or 5 times a week? And that's my answer. Random plate inquiries are a joke.
I've got a question. Can you just talk a little bit about knowledge of case law and that, how that helps you to be a better police officer?
Yeah. So I believe that there's a process in which you should develop your career. Number one is not how not to die. We learn this backwards, by the way. So we're going to try to learn it forward. How do you not die? What's the law? And then you learn the streets. We usually like learn the streets first, then the law, because they're like, yo, you're having a suppression hearing. Like they're throwing out evidence that you found as a because of a bad search. And you're like, I didn't know we couldn't do that. And then like you might have a brush with death and start taking it seriously, or you'll conceive some children and you're like, fuck, I have kids now. Like I gotta be more careful with doing this job because like it really matters. This book right here is, I think it's $92 plus an ebook version. And I think if you guys bought the ebook, it's a PDF. You could just print the whole thing out and share it. Wink, wink. And I'll send Tim what this is, but this book is $92. And if you read this book, you'll have a different career. And so the craziest shit, I'm about to say some crazy shit to all of you. Nobody knows what they're doing. It's all a guessing game. But all the answers to reduce the amount of guesses that you have to make in the field are found in this book, at least to start. So what does that mean? You have a crash. It's a DWI. The guy gets arrested. And now you've got a vehicle, maybe you have a significant injury or a death. And you're sitting out there saying like, well, there could be stuff inside the car that we could use in this guy's trial as evidence to use against them. And so the question is like, can you search the car on scene or do you need a search warrant? And so everybody looks around. The craziest shit is there are answers because it's happened before. Somebody did it. And the court said it was either good or bad. Like there's so many things you need to know. Hey, how about this one? This is one for you guys. I mean, you guys are new. I get that. I'm not trying to make you feel like shit. You get a call that somebody's cell phone was stolen. Find My is ringing it at 65 Sycamore Avenue, Bridgeport, Connecticut. You pull up at 65 Sycamore. You walk up to the house. They say, this is the house where the phone's supposed to be inside. It was just stolen from me. You knock on the door, nobody answers. You look inside the house, and the cell phone that the woman is reporting stolen is sitting right there on the nightstand inside the fucking house. What do you do? So, I'm only using this as like to make examples. And the answer is like, one of the biggest problems we have in law enforcement is that cops don't know how to write search warrants. And everybody in this room needs to learn how to write a search warrant, because even as a patrol officer, you need to write a search warrant, and they're very easy to write. They're very simple. So in this scenario, you would have to stop and get a search warrant. And give me 1 second, Rick. And so it may change, though. Let's say if somebody yells in the house, yo, the cops are here. Get that fucking cell phone out of here. That may change it. Now we have an exigency and loss or destruction of evidence where you can now use force to go in. So these things you need to know, because if you use force and go in when you're not supposed to, because you didn't know you needed to get a search warrant, and you engage in a gun battle, the first thing they're going to say to you is, well, why the fuck did you go in the first place? And you're going to say, well, the phone was there. And the craziest shit is they're not going to teach you anything. You'll get what you can get, but like you won't get everything you need. But they'll, and when they don't teach you what you need to know as a police officer, they also, the same people who fail you in the training will also hold you accountable for the bad actions in the field. It's so crazy. So that's why it falls on us to train. So whoever the fucking lunatic in the class is who's obsessed with the police work, you can buy this book for $92 and start reading it. And it's easy to read, guys. Like, it's so easy. Like, let me just pull something up. Like, Georgia V. Randolph. This is page 439. Can the police search the common areas of a home based on the consent of one occupant when the other co-occupant is present and objects to the search? So you got two people in a house. Cops show up. They want consent to search the house. Mary, who's Tim's wife, says, you guys can search. Tim says, you cannot search. Can you search the house? No. The police are not permitted to conduct a search of premises based on the consent of one occupant when a co-occupant is physically present and objects to the search. But how about if Tim leaves? Tim's back at headquarters. He's under arrest getting processed. And then you ask Mary, can I search the house?
Yeah.
Different. Or how about this? I'll even fucking throw one in for you there. How about Tim and Mary have an 18-year-old son, and the cops believe that the son's a drug dealer? They go to Tim and Mary's house. The son's 20. They go to Tim and Mary's house and say, hi, Tim and Mary, I'm Officer so-and-so from this police department. We have some tips that your son may be engaged in some kind of illegal drug transactions. Is your son home? No, he's not home. Would you give us consent to search of his room? Would you be authorized to search their son's room based on Tim and Mary's consent? And the answer is, because I'm setting you up for failure, is we don't know yet. And so are things you'll have to find out. Does your son pay rent? Is there a lock on his door? Do you have access to his room? So if the mother says to you, and I would ask these questions in situations like this, I'm like, hey, your kid, I've had these. Like, we knew the kid was fucking dirty. We're there. We're like, yeah, we're going to search this kid's room. I'm like, hey, does he pay rent? No, he doesn't. Is there a lock on his door? There is, but I have a key because I go in and I clean his room. You could read case law that says those are some of the things you would need to establish before you could establish that that person had the right to give consent. But if you didn't know that, you would get consent from Tim and Mary. You would jimmy the door open under the impression in your mind that if he lives here, even though he might pay rent, it doesn't matter because they still own the premises. But the reality is he's a tenant and the landlord of that house, which is his parents, can't give up his Fourth Amendment rights to law enforcement without his official consent. That's why it's important to know. And that's why this book is so fucking good.
All right. We're going to wrap up shortly. But any closing remarks for the class?
Guys, you know, I think a lot of your questions continue to get answered. Follow our stuff. This is not a pitch for me to get you into my group. I have 100,000 vetted police officers in the group. I didn't come here today to try to market you. I came here today to try to give you some value. But remember the things that I said, and like, it'll be over soon. This thing will be a fucking blip in your life. You know, I think that's it, man. Guys, good luck. Thank you for listening to me today. Hopefully you found value. You don't owe me anything, and I just appreciate it, the opportunity for me to essentially give you some wisdom there. Hopefully you learned some shit.
You did.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Hey guys, check out our upcoming training at streetcop.com. Don't forget, we have 50 instructors nationally teaching a variety of topics. These are the best classes you're going to experience in your career. We make sure of it. You're going to love it. I guarantee you, you're going to be thankful that you went. Check us out at streetcop.com for all upcoming classes in your area.